David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And I'm so excited because we have a very special guest today. He's part of our podcast community. He has his own podcast on our channel. He is a confidence coach, and he's amazing at what he does. And today he's going to talk about grief and loss and how to move forward in life, something we all have struggled with somebody that we've loved and we've lost. It's a very hard place to be in, and a lot of people have a very hard time overcoming the loss and moving forward. And as you know, when it comes to losing someone you love, you really never get over it, but you do have to learn how to cope with it and move on with your life and not get stuck in the place that you're at, or let your emotions like depression and get to you. So I'm very excited because Alex is here, and he has some great tools and techniques to share with you on this subject. Alex, thanks so much for coming back on the show. I love when you come back. Tell everybody a little about yourself and let's get into this topic, because this is such a great topic to talk about. And so many people, struggle with this.
Yep. Hey, Stacey. Good to see you again. And hi, everybody. My name is Alex Christoff. I'm a confidence coach in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been on a couple podcasts and videos, so some of you guys may know me. I'll tell you a little secret. I don't plan these recordings at all. Basically, a few hours before Stacey and I record, that's when I decide what I want to talk about. And something that's come up a few times recently with people I know is coping with loss, with grief. And so I thought, okay, this is actually a topic I'm intimately familiar, and I want to share with you guys what I did to overcome all the grief and loss I had. And there was a lot. So I'm just going to jump right into it, unless Stacey, you have any questions ahead of time.
No. Mm-mm. Go ahead.
Okay. So 2022, I started rejoining society, and I thought it was going to be the most amazing thing ever. But it wasn't. So by 2022, I had basically spent 5 years in bed. I had a medical issue, which for a decade prior, I couldn't get a diagnosis on. I ended up not being able to work. I did work during those years. It was part-time work, and it was something that I could do on my iPad from bed, basically.
Yeah.
Because I did have to have an income, and it was all I could do at the time. But for all intents and purposes, my profession was out the window. I was a software engineer up until then. At the point where I lost the ability to do my normal job, these things had been going on for a while, and my wife decided that living with a person like me was not her version of her best life, so she split. Bye-bye. Again, I ended up spending the vast majority of those 5 years in bed. I lived in my parents' house in a room. I left the house maybe just a handful of times. I had a lot of difficulties being in a car. Mm-hmm. The issues were specifically with my neck. And so, anytime a car stops, speeds up, turns, yep. Huge, huge difficulties. So complete isolation. In the middle of all this in 2019, we lost my sister to cancer. Mm. So the first year after we lost her, I cried every day. And then after that, I stopped crying completely. I even had, it was very weird. I had difficulties you know, we put up pictures of her all over the house. And, you know, I'd go to open the fridge. There are pictures of her on the fridge. And it was like they didn't elicit any emotion, nothing. Eventually, I ended up diagnosing myself, coming up with a recovery program for myself, doing it. So again, by 2022, I was starting to venture out of the house. And it was a very weird experience because as I started going out, I would drive to places around Atlanta where I used to live, places that I used to spend time with friends. And, you know, in 5 years, the world moves so fast. Oh my God. Right. So for me, it was a completely new city. And all these places I went to, all these things I saw were all reminders of loss, right? Over the years, friends had moved to other states, whatever, you know, people had families, blah, blah, blah. So I had lost this entire life I had, completely in total, and everything involved with it. And on top of that, I'm starting this new life, but in this new life, I don't have a sister. And it literally became a matter of everything I laid my eyes on, everything I thought about. What was had something to do with loss. And when I got to that point, literally everything became a trigger. I cried many times a day, every day. This is heavy crying. This is, you know, sobbing into my hands. And the first thing that I wondered was, why is it all happening now? And it dawned on me that during what I call the dark years that I spent in bed, I was actually fully in survival mode. So I wasn't really processing any of these things, right? They weren't a part of my reality. I had bigger fish to fry. And now that I've gotten over this huge difficulty, now all of a sudden these emotions started coming to me. And as I say, literally everything was a trigger. I would, you know, sit on the couch and I'll watch some sports game. And just the randomest things, you know, the camera would pan across the crowd and I'm looking at these people and I would start crying again uncontrollably. So the grief was just immense, immense. I had no idea how to deal with it. It was overwhelming and it just would not stop. And then something interesting happened, which is I stopped crying. The grief didn't go away, but I stopped crying, which was very interesting because I wanted to cry, right? I wanted to let, right? We all need some kind of catharsis, right? We want to let these things out. We need a vent. I assume I just went into some sort of self-preservation mode where I stopped crying. But again, the grief just didn't leave, and it was heavy, heavy grief. And something interesting happened when I went to yoga. I'm going to give you a spoiler. This is not about yoga. But I started going to yoga specifically to. Because I'd spent so much time not using my body, I had to kind of rebuild everything, right? I did light exercise at home. I started walking a lot, and I thought, okay, you know, yoga is a good thing. You know, start getting the body stretched, so on and so forth. You know, it's healthy physical stuff. And to begin with, all the yoga I did was the very gentle versions, right? You're basically laying on a mat, you're holding stretches for a long time. I physically wasn't able to do, you know, any of the crazy stuff. Like I wasn't doing 100 chaturangas in a row. You know, I wasn't doing what is it, upwards dog, downwards this and that, whatever. N none of that stuff, right? Very gentle yoga. And something very weird happened. Pretty much from the very first class, I found myself when I would lay down in a pose like that, I would start crying. Now, obviously, I wasn't sobbing, right? I kept it in control. I don't want to bother anyone else in class, but As soon as the class started, as soon as I got in the very first pose, whatever it was, the tears would just that they would start coming. And my first thought was, okay, well, I don't understand exactly what's going on, but at the very least, I'm experiencing some release. And, after class, I would leave and I'd feel better. So my initial thinking was, well, it's the release that makes me feel better. But then I thought about it a little more. And it was like, well, before I started coming to yoga, during those days when I was constantly crying and crying and crying, I didn't feel better afterwards. Right? I just ran out of tears for the moment. And in a couple hours or tomorrow or whatever, I'm going to cry again. But I still feel like crap. I'm grieving big time. There's no way out of this. So why is it that going to yoga and doing this is different? That was very interesting to me. So what I started doing is whenever I'd go to yoga and whenever I would go through this experience of crying there and then feeling afterwards, I started really paying attention to what am I really doing here? What am I thinking about? What am I feeling, experiencing? And finally, one day it dawned on me. For whatever reason, that environment, the yoga studio, allowed me to cry. It allowed me to express grief. But, and this is one reason I like going to yoga versus doing yoga at home. It's a controlled environment, right? You don't have the distractions of home. You don't have the pets running around. You don't have random noises. You don't have your phone. You don't have to keep track of what time it is, blah, 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 any of that stuff, right? You go there. It's unless you're doing very active yoga, if you're doing meditative type yoga, they'll dim the lights down. There's probably a few candles. There's calm music playing. And so the environment itself allows you to kind of shut the brain off from the world, right? And you really are just left with yourself. And you're not worrying about time because you have an instructor, right? They're worried about all that. They may, if you're doing a yoga that comes with any kind of what do you call it? I forget what it's called now, but like meditative instructions, right? The yoga instructor will tell you,
More like a Zen yoga.
exactly, like focus on what this feels like. Think about blah blah whatever, right? It's very instructional. It carries you along, so you don't have to think about anything. And what I found is that because of that, I was able to do something really important, which was during those super calm, super quiet moments, when the tears would start coming, what I was doing in my head is I was actually paying respects to my losses. And that's why when I walk out of there, out of that class, I feel relief and I feel better. So I said, okay. Well, hold on a second here. I can use this. And I came up with a very simple exercise for myself. Because, by the way, one of the most difficult things I had to deal with, when my sister passed away, because I was in a very difficult health situation as well, once I started making it out of that, I had a lot of survivor's guilt, right? Why did I come out of this, but she didn't? Right, I felt incredibly guilty, and especially starting a new life, it's like, holy crap, I got a second lease. But why did I get a second lease and she didn't? So I came up with this exercise where I would start every day. I would do my bathroom routine, throw my clothes on, and then before I leave the bedroom, I would just stand, put my hand on my heart, close my eyes. And I would think about all the things that I've lost. And I don't know that it's necessary to do the following, but I did it. I think it helped. I would physically turn in the direction of where that loss happened. So, for example, my sister passed away in Galveston, Texas. So I took out my phone, check where Galveston, Texas is, turned until I was pointing in that direction. And it's like, okay, when I think of my sister, this is where I turn to. When I think of this other thing I've lost, where did I lose it? Well, it was over there. I'll turn this way, and so on and so forth, right? And I did that to really to make sure it's personal, right? Because the main difficulty with moving on from loss or moving on with loss, and there is a difference, and I'll talk about it in a minute. The critical thing and the difficulty in overcoming that really is actually guilt, right? If I don't grieve this thing, then what am I actually doing? Well, I'm devaluing it. And I'm not okay with that. So I'm not okay with letting it go because it does hold value to me, right? That's the difficult thing. Oh, if I just move on with my life and everything's great and pretend that didn't happen, well, that means that that thing that we've lost didn't matter, but it did. Otherwise, we wouldn't grieve it, right? And that's what stops us from moving forward. And paying respects is actually the antidote. So I started doing this exercise every day, right? I would turn in a specific direction to what I lost. And I would take a few minutes and think of that thing or that person. And I would think thoughts like, thank you for being in my life. Thank you for making my life richer. I haven't forgotten you and I will not forget you. Just thank you for being there. And then I would go on with my day. And like anything, it takes time. Right. And you have to do this. Any new habit, any new way of thinking, you have to be consistent. You have to do it daily. Right. It's like tying your shoelaces, right? When you were little and your parents were teaching you to tie your shoelaces, if you did it one day and then didn't do it again for a month, you're starting from zero. And then you did it again in a month, you're starting from zero. If you do it every day, at the end of the month, you don't need your parents' help anymore. Right. So, consistency to everything is key. So I started doing this exercise every single day. And pretty soon I found that I had to do it for less and less things. In other words, a lot of the losses I no longer felt the need to pay respects to because I had done enough, right? The last one naturally to go was my sister. With her specifically, it was a little different. I didn't, quote unquote, let her go. I just turned that morning ritual into just a normal part of my life where, I'm just going about my day and I'll think of her and I'll just say, thank you. I miss you. I remember you. You matter to me, right? And that exercise allowed me to actually come to terms with all these things, right? And to move forward without guilt, without sadness, without grief. It really freed me. I had no idea how I was going to get out of it. And yeah, in a way, it saved my life. I didn't think I would ever, get over any of that stuff, right? Because the gravity of my situation, right? It wasn't just my sister, it was everything. It was an entire life. So it was extremely heavy. But yeah, I don't have issues with that anymore. That exercise is amazing. And anytime somebody talks to me about grief or loss, I tell them that this is what you have to do. Because again, the key in the entire grief, I don't know what to call it, bubble, is you don't want to let go of that thing because it matters. And so if you pay your respects to it regularly, you don't have to let it go. But you can, and this is what I said, what I was saying earlier, there are certain things you move on from and certain things you move on with.
Right.
Now, and so the distinction here is it's really simple. If someone you love dies, you don't move on from that.
Yeah.
You move on with it. Everything else in life is replaceable.
Right.
Pay your respects, and when you're done, move on. Build new, start new, find new, whatever it may be, right? The only irreplaceable thing is when a loved one dies.
Yes.
So, again, in those situations, it just becomes a regular part of life where, again, for me, when I think of her, it's a little moment. It doesn't matter. I don't have to stand in one place. I don't have to do a specific thing anymore. It could be anywhere. I'm out with friends. My sister pops into my head and it's, hey, I love you. Thank you for being a part of my life. You're with me forever.
Right.
Right. And so as long as we pay our respects, then we're not just ditching that thing that we grieve as if it never existed, if it didn't matter. It
Yeah.
did. And honestly, it really is that simple. So yeah, if anybody out there is going through grief or loss, do the exercise, do it regularly. It may take time. It took me probably 3 months of doing it daily, before I started not needing to do it.
Yeah.
Right. Like one day I woke up and I was like, no, like I'm good today. I'm good. I can just go with my day.
Right.
Maybe a couple of days later I'd come back to it. Right. And maybe I would no longer come back to it with all of the things that I was paying respects to before. Maybe now it was just one or two.
Right.
Right. And so yeah, gradually you no longer need to do it. So yeah, that's the way out.
I love it. So, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on a couple of important factors to the listeners, what would be those things?
Number one, pay respects. As long as you pay your respects, it's okay to move forward. Because the thing, it, as long as you're paying your respects, that thing or person that you've lost, and it could be anything. It could be a job, right? Losing your job is very difficult. Getting laid off, right? For, I mean, our jobs are like 50% of our lives, right? That can be a tremendous loss. But yeah, pay your respects and go about your day. And as long as you pay your respects regularly, eventually you'll be able to move on. And the second thing, again, is make the distinction between, excuse me, make the distinction between what you can move on from and what you have to move on with. And the distinction is super simple. Death of a lost one, death of a loved one, that you do not move on from. You move on with it. Everything else is replaceable. Eventually you can move on from it and go about your life. So that's it. It's just two things.
I love it.
If you force me to add a third thing, it would be the same as always with any kind of anything good you're doing for yourself. You have to be consistent.
Yes, 100%. Now, can you tell everybody about your services that you provide?
Sure. I focus on, I mean, in essence, I'm a life coach, but I've focus specifically on confidence. It's a 10-week program. It is a holistic program. We work on mental health, specifically cognitive reframing, which is turning negative thought patterns into positive ones. We work on physical health. That is a must. It's non-negotiable for me to work with anyone. Having said that, I realize that different people have different limitations, right? So I'm not going to send you off to do a marathon tomorrow if you had hip surgery or something. right? That's not realistic. So I can work with anyone, but physical exercise is a prerequisite. And the third thing is looking at basic life challenges, right? If you're not sure what your direction is, we figure out what your direction is. We come up with a roadmap. We simplify the process of how to getting from A to B, right? What are the things that actually matter? Not what are all the things. Forget what are all the things. Because what's critical to getting anything done is to focus on the things that matter.
100%.
All right. So yeah, it's physical health, mental health, and overcoming challenges, learning how to overcome them. 10-week program, people love it. And yeah,
I
that's what it
love it.
looks like.
And where can people find you?
My website is superself.me. They can contact me through the website. My phone number is there. They can email me. They can schedule a consultation, whatever they may want to do. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing. I really enjoyed this. It's so refreshing the way you looked at it. And I have to say thank you for sharing that story, because it takes a lot to open up and to share that story. People don't realize it, but it's very hard when we take things that mean so much to us inside and share it with the world. And you did that today, and you're going to help many people with your story. But it
I
took
hope
a lot of
so.
courage to share that story.
I
So
hope so.
I thank you for doing that. I really do.
You're welcome. And before I go, I wanted to mention you and I talked a little bit before we started recording. This is I think this is the fourth or fifth episode you and I are recording. So I'm really enjoying my time with you. So what I wanted to do is for one person, one of your listeners or viewers out there, schedule a consultation with me, and we'll do four sessions for free. Those are 4 weekly sessions. You have to tell me that you heard or saw me on The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, and I will work with you. And again, this is only for your listeners and viewers. So yeah, if I can help you, if I can help anybody out there, go on my website, schedule a consultation, and let's do it.
I love it. Well, that's so generous of you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, you have a great day, and thank
Thank
you.
you, Stacey.
And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.